the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Hit the by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And by Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/iTunes.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
Oh, I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Welcome to the show. Absolutely, and what a big show it's going to be. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. It is Kerry Rhodes, everyone. How about it here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center? How about a round of applause? Kerry Rhodes is in the house.
Come on now.
And your affable host here, Ron Wolfley over there. Yours truly, Paul Calvisi. Wolf, I go into the hole. It was, you know, twas three nights before Christmas poem that I've been apt to do in the past.
Yeah, right.
The beatdown that I endured from Bertrand Berry year after year. The glare that I got from Adrian Wilson a year ago in that spot. I really didn't want to break out the poem again this year. So, it took me a while. Paulie thick-headed over here, but I learned my lesson. So, boom, we'll just get right into it since you got a football game on Christmas Eve anyway to play.
All right, Paul, forget about the thick head. How about the thick hair you've got going on? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Calvisi, some wood chips in his hair.
Okay.
Still making toys right up to Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Still making toys for Santa.
That's very great. That's a good deed, too. Great deed, too.
You know,
great
with
deed,
the Cardinal Paul. Red that he's rocking over there, I've already seen a few kids come up with their list for Santa, and we had to redirect them elsewhere.
Look, they tried to send his lap?
Yeah.
Look, Paul, man. The only thing I want you to do is hook the reindeer up and do it the right way, just once.
Santa and the elf. And who am I then?
With your show, who would you want to be? You know, what was your favorite cartoon or Christmas classic when you were a little guy?
Classic.
What was UConn Cornelius, or what was that guy's name?
UConn Cornelius, he was awesome. He used to lick the axe. Yeah. Remember that? Or the pick, actually.
Nah, man, I'm a big Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer guy. I'm very sappy, and he got the red nose, and everybody made fun of him. And
they wouldn't let him into the reindeer games.
They
did you
let
cry
him
when you were
game.
A kid? You know, you're 6, 7 years old. Did you shed a tear when they kicked him out of the reindeer games? And
probably around the nine, ten range, I shed a couple of tears. But
guys, I always look at the Island of Misfits and thought it was probably the coolest place on earth. The Island of Misfit Toys.
The Charlie Brown Christmas Story was a pretty good thing, too. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie Brown, his tree always bothered me. The Charlie Brown tree just bothered me. Come on, could you really be that down, that destitute, where you'd pick that tree, you know?
Wolf's affinity for the Island of Misfits, 20 years I've nearly known him, and now he's fully defined in all his percussions. Now I understand a lot more as to exactly what... Kerry, how are we doing right here? I mean, you guys, as Wolf said before the show, my goodness, you guys are rewriting NFL history.
Knock it off.
In the modern day, to some degree. I mean, this has not been done since 1970, knock on wood, at least threatening to make the playoffs a legitimate semi-shot, at least getting yourself in contention after a 1-6 start. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It just shows the type of character we have on this team. I mean, the guys, at 1-6, you know, you could have put it in the tank. And I know a lot of teams that would have done that.
Oh, yeah.
But the guys here continue to stay on course and fight the good fight. And now we're, like you said, we're in contention and we need a little help, but we're going to do all we can to get in there.
Can I tell you let me just jump in here and say that what Kerry Rhodes just said, Basinonians, what he said is the understatement of the year. It really is. I have a PhD in losing. All right. 10 years in the National Football League, never played on a team that went to a playoff game.
Are you serious?
Never played on a team that was even 8-8.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons why I was on the team. But look, that's beside the point. What I'm saying is I've been on a lot of 4-12, I've been on a 3-13, 4-12s, 5-11s, 6-10s, got a little kooky 1 year, 1-7, had the towel going, you know. I guess what I'm saying is I have seen a lot of guys and a lot of players in that locker room pull up their stakes. Now, they're out there. They're doing their job, technically.
Doing just enough.
But they're doing it with no passion, with no love, with no heart whatsoever. Yeah. What you guys are doing right now, to me, man, I'll tell you, I mean, I stand at the ready for what you guys are doing and the coaching staff as well. 1-6, yeah. And now you're 7-7. It's unthinkable, and it doesn't happen in the NFL. It doesn't. That's why the last time it happened, it was 1970.
Well, if you ever playing a team that started out 2-5, 3-6, 3-7, and then turned it around, all of a sudden went on a Mondo winning streak mid to late season?
He just told you they only had 7 wins, so he didn't
get Kerry,
yes, yeah, I guess
Kerry,
it's sort of mathematically.
I wasn't trying to believe the point, okay?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, Kerry. You know all that flag waving Wolf did at Sun Devil Stadium? He's actually the founding father of the flag boy, and nobody knows it. Wolf was the forerunner to the flag boy.
Load my swag.
Ken Whisman paid you a compliment on Monday. We'll hear that next.
Yes.
Wallace looking left, fires, and it is broken up. Incomplete. Kerry Rhodes got his right hand in there.
Kerry Rhodes making a play. Cover two, man.
And Wallace back to throw. It's a screen to the right for the tight end. And Kerry Rhodes makes a great play, tracking down Jordan Cameron.
Oh, you said that right, David. What a huge play by Kerry Rhodes.
It's good to see Kerry get back in there. And was impressed with the way he played. He did a pretty good job considering he hadn't played in a number of weeks. And I think that obviously we'll work to get him more snaps this week, but was happy with that.
And that was unprompted from the head coach on Monday. Ken Whisenhunt, it wasn't one of these media guys like yours truly going, Coach, what do you think of Kerry Rhodes? No, boom, he just brought that up on his own at the Monday press conference. Kerry Rhodes coming off his return to 2011. 5 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, and a pass defense, as you heard there from Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley. And I just asked you, and I'm sort of incredulous over here. I asked you, how sore were you after those many weeks off on Monday morning? And you said...
Not really sore.
Not at all. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a good job of, you know, trying to get my body in shape and do all the things I could with my foot being out. So, I worked on all the other body parts and, they worked out. It worked out Sunday.
All right, keep it down Knock it off.
Look. Keep it G out there. Okay?
Exactly.
Keep
Thank you very G much, Kerry.
Yes.
What about, did you lay the lumber at all? Did you absolutely blow somebody up? Because you know what? I missed it if you did.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. One of the receivers tried to come crack me on a run. And I saw him. I looked him up and gave him the shot. And
you gave the shot.
I gave him the shot, and he didn't come back in the game anymore. He had a concussion. So, yeah.
Wow.
He felt a little bit of the Kerry Rhodes rage.
He wasn't expecting that you were going to see him peripherally? You think he was taken by surprise? You saw him?
Yeah, you know how the little receivers try to come crack you on the run? When you're the if guy in the box, they try to dig you out. So,
did you not make eye contact with him?
Nope.
Did you? Oh, see, that's it.
Now you got Wolf going.
You hear me talk about it all the time.
There you go.
The eyes are maybe the windows to the soul, but they are certainly the magnet on the field. You would be stunned if you make eye contact with a guy in the middle of a play. Mm-hmm. You will be stunned the way that you'll be able to steer him, use your eyes. And if you're not looking at him and you see him, you can destroy him, can't you?
Yeah, he didn't come back anymore. I actually saw him getting up off the ground, and I kind of pointed and laughed.
Because
I haven't been out there in so long.
Because the blood was on the boil, wasn't it?
Because I haven't been out there in so long. I had to make an impression.
You made an impression.
So he came out, and he kind of like wobbled off the field. I was like, man, sorry.
Wow. You know? So bellicose this evening.
So how rusty were you? It was, I think, their second possession. It was that 3rd and 4, so like midfield, and it was sort of like a deep out where you had that pass defense there. Was that sort of the, I don't know, was that the play that kind of clicked everything into gear?
No, I had to go make a tackle early. I mean, they came out with a great game plan. They spread us out and tried to run the big boy up the middle on us. So I had to go make a tackle early. And my foot was kind of in the air, and it got hit. And after I got up and it was fine, I was like, okay, let's go play.
But you needed that, right?
I mean, real quick, you needed that, right? You need verification that, boom, full speed, tackle, full go, that the foot was going to hold up.
I needed it. And then when it happened the second play of the game. It got hit, and I was like, I got up on it ginger-like and put my weight on it, and it was still together. So I said, let's go.
You know what's great, though, it was that cover two man where you came in. Norwood was running that corner route. Looked like he kind of bent that thing off. Really didn't get a nice angle going there to the flag, but ran that corner route. You made a great play coming over the top. Cover two man. Tell people what cover two is and what your assignment is as a safety, a two deep safety.
Well, it varies a little bit, but in that particular coverage, it was two man, like you said, and you know the guys underneath are going to handle everything. So you're kind of just free, and you're hanging there in that in your deep half, your deep quadrant half. And, you know, you just get to read the quarterback and see his eyes and go make plays.
You have seen a lot of corner routes in your day, haven't you?
I've seen a lot of them, man. As soon as he broke out, I was like, yeah, let me get that
one. You were all over it.
Let me get that one. If it was a good ball, it would have been a pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know who else was all over something was the head coach when you guys came out on that opening series as a defense and allowed them to go 7 plays, 76 yards in 3.5 minutes, and they punched it right into the end zone. He was animated on the sideline, was he not? It's not often he gets the entire defense together, but Ken Wisenhunt had something to say there.
Well, coming into the game, we as a defense, our goal was to dominate the game and to start fast, and that was part of the reason he came over. I mean, we laid an egg on the first drive. We let him go down and score, and wasn't what we had in mind. So coach let us know about it, and we responded as a unit, and we fixed it right away.
You know, let me talk about that first series here briefly, Kerry, because, you know, it's kind of a microcosm of the entire 2011 season. When you look at that first series, it was the first half of the season, the first seven games in particular, of course, where you guys were 1-6 and the defense was giving up chunks of yardage out of the field. And it kind of looked like that. It looked like that defense on that first series by the Browns. And, you know, a complete turnaround as the game went on. You guys appeared to get stronger to me. And I just, again, as a former player, you know, that is so hard to do. It is so hard to do to come out and think you're ready to play when maybe you really are not ready to play. Maybe you're prepared mentally, but maybe the intensity level is not where it needs to be. And I have started myself many games like that where the intensity, I thought I was ready to go, but the intensity level was not where it needed to be. And it appeared that was your guys' problem on that first possession. Would you dispute that?
I think that's a fair assessment, but I also think that when you go into games like that, I mean, it's a game we knew we had to win to, you know, for our goals to be reached later on. But, I mean, when you play a team like Cleveland, you know that they can cause problems, but we just came off a big emotional win against San Fran the week before.
Two.
Hey, yeah.
And Dallas then, and San Fran.
Of course, yeah. But the San Fran game, you know, you come from that one and you go into a game like this knowing that we think deep down inside we're the better team. And sometimes it happens that
way. That's exactly right.
But we came out and we were able to fix it, like I said, and, you know, we knew that we had to play better.
And see, even that, just to fix it, to be able to, man, I'm telling you, that in and of itself on game day is almost impossible to do. And these guys did it, just like they've done it all year long. 1-6, now 7-7. That's why I say that possession defensively was a microcosm of 2011.
It was weird because, you know, they've been playing well before I got there, and they come out and score the first drive. I'm like, man, is it me? So,
so
we get back on the sideline. I'm like, hey, man, let's get this fixed because I don't want to be to blame this week. Okay, let's go.
At the end of the game, if we would have continued, I was like, well, geez, what's been the difference in the last 2 months?
It's Kerry Rhodes. Oh, get him out of there.
Wow. Yeah. That would have been, yeah.
Light him up, Kerry.
By the way, here we are, azcardinals.com/live video if you want to check out the webcast as well. And we're also going to bring in and mention our flight crew is here from Redbird One. We'll work them in a little bit later as well. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Floats one down the near sideline. Fitz is there. He caught it at the 10. Knocked out of bounds inside the 5.
Larry Fitzgerald running the corner route. And a perfect throw by Big Red John Skelton.
Red Skelton, yeah. T-Book gets all the love. You know, Skelton gets no shine, it seems like. He's not apprehensive to make throws. I mean, he just steps in there and does his thing. And, you know, that's really something that you don't see too often in a guy, you know, that young with as little starches he's had. But, you know, we're lucky to have him, and he's been balling for us.
There you go, Larry Fitzgerald. A little two-man game in overtime, the 32-yarder. Then Jay Feely gave props and thanks in the post-game radio interview as well. Said, thank you, Larry and John Skelton, for taking my 54-yard game winner and making it 22 yards. That was the difference there in that big play. And then they ran the two-man game afterwards in the post-game press conference as well. Fits a little shout-out for John Skelton, who, by the way, is 5-1. I'm counting the Niners game where he came in after the very first series right there. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. So as a former quarterback yourself,
yes.
Kerry Rhodes,
yes.
Tell us about John Skelton and just what do you guys think on the defense? You heard Fitz with the shout out right there. I mean, what do you think the entire team thinks right now about the young guy?
I mean, we're behind him 100%, man. I think he's proved himself worthy of that, of getting praise week in and week out. I think he's maturing a lot as a player, as a quarterback. I think he brushes off the mistake well now, and that's a big thing for a quarterback in this league. I mean, you're going to make mistakes. Defensive players are going to make plays against you. So I think he's grown from that standpoint, and now he's confident that he can make every throw and also make the right decision. So he's done a good job.
Kerry, as a veteran, a guy who's been around for a long time, have you seen John Skelton grow at all with his poise and his command and his demeanor as well? Because when you play quarterback, as you well know, in the National Football League, yeah, all those eyes are looking at you. They're looking at you in the huddle. And if you look terrified, if you look like you don't know what you're doing,
yeah,
it sends panic throughout that huddle. Demeanor is important. What about John Skelton's demeanor?
Well, you know what? I think his demeanor has been the same. I think he's a cool hand Luke guy. Anyway, just by trade, I think. But I think just overall, I mean, his ability to, like I said, shrug off the mistake and come back out and make a big throw in overtime like that to get us in a position to win is just great signs for him. And his future, I mean, the future for him is going to be great.
You know, Ken Wisner, we talked about it, Wolf, on the podcast, azcardinals.com, about, you know, he said after the game, he told us two things in the post-game interview. He said the two things you can't teach, John Skelton has. Number one, poise. Mm-hmm. And number two, he just has this knack, this ability to make a huge play at a critical time.
Yeah.
And if the NFL is about making plays, he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, for him, it's weird because there'll be some points in the game you'll be like, Skelton, come on, man, you can't do that.
Right.
He'll make a mistake and look bad for a series or two or whatever, but when it comes down to it, when it comes to making the play and in big time situations, he gets it done either with his feet or with his arm. So he's done a good job.
Kerry, the other attribute that he has, the other character trait, the other ability he seems to possess and display every Sunday, is this knack of getting away. And Paul, we also talked about this on the podcast. His knack for eluding the rush and having almost this sixth sense of when to get out of that pocket, when the rush is coming, I have not seen a lot of quarterbacks have that innate sense about them the way that John Skelton does at such a young age.
Yeah.
Your comments on John Skelton and his ability to extend the play.
Well, his pocket presence is pretty good. He's quick enough, nimble enough with his feet to be able to elude the rush. But
not fast.
No, he's not fast. I said nimble. Nimble at nimble. Best. Nimble at
dexterity.
Best.
Dexterity.
But that makes it even more like, well, head scratching.
But he's also a strong guy. So he's not going to go down with an arm tackle, or you're not going to just grab him and he's going to go down. So he has a lot of great tools to work with moving forward. And, I mean, like I said, he's playing well for us right now, and that's all that matters at this moment.
You know, the two scoring drives, at least, ended up in the end zone were both via the no huddle, the two-minute, the end of the first half, and then in the fourth quarter, they went into the no huddle.
Yeah.
What does that do for the quarterback? Or maybe from your perspective, how is that a challenge as a defense when an offense all of a sudden kicks into the no huddle?
Now, I'll give you the perspective for the offense. The reason that the no huddle works well, if you're moving well as a unit on offense, is because as a defense, you have to show your hand a little bit early. You can't disguise as much as you want. You have to pretty much line up into what you're going to run and get it done. So I think it makes his looks a little bit more clear, and he's able to dictate what's going on.
By the way, Kevin Cobb looks like he's going to be a game day decision, or at least announcement at this point. Ken Wisenhunt saying today that, well, there's a couple of benchmarks. Number one, you got to practice symptom-free coming off the concussion. And number two, you got to be able to go out on the flight. I mean, there are certain guidelines and benchmarks in place by the NFL, so we'll see. I mean, I think right now we're expecting John Skelton to get another start, but we'll see what happens. We'll continue to roll on. The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
Second and seven at the 9-yard line. Shotgun for Skelton, flanked to his left. And Skelton back to throw. Fires right side of the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Andre Roberts!
Excellent protection for John Skelton. A great job by Big Red moving up in the pocket and then keeping his eyes downfield, finding Andre Roberts.
Right before half, they made it a 10-7 game. Cardinals went in half, a little momentum there. Got on the scoreboard, 9 plays, 65 yards in a minute and a half. John Skelton, Andre Roberts, passing touchdown this season. Wells Fargo donates $500 to the Team Up for Schools Fund, which donates money to local public schools. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and your host, Kerry Rhodes. Yes. So, you guys were down at half. You're also down 17-7 in the fourth quarter. How concerned were you, or how confident were you, considering this team has now done that before?
Well, the 10-0 hole when we scored right before the half was huge. I think from a confidence standpoint, from just getting our minds back into the game moment, that was it. I mean, you go in 10-0. The difference between 10-0 and 10-7, it may not sound that big, but at that time it was huge for us. We were able to get back in the game and feel good about what we can do coming back out as a defense in the second half. So that was great. And then when we got down 17-7, I mean, you know, we still thought we can battle back and get back in. And we knew we could stop those guys. And it was just all about the offense getting into rhythm and starting making some plays for us. And they did.
So, and on that right there, Paulie, let me jump in and just say, you know, it's been my experience. And again, this is just my opinion of this. But the offense provides a team hope. You know, when you get down, the team knows that John Skelton has done this before, that even Kevin Cobb has done it before, where you can come back and you can score points. The offense, I think, provides a team, or affords a team hope, where the defense, I think, provides morale. Morale if the other team cannot move the ball or is having a difficult time moving the ball. Just imagine if you were standing in some trench or on some castle wall, and here they come, here come the Huns, and you repulse them. What does it do? It provides everybody, it fills everybody with morale, you know, that we can withstand that. And I think defense has the same impact on a football team in a football game. What do you say to that, Kerry?
I just think for us on the defensive side of the ball, our job is to not let them score. And I know that we gave up the one big play, but other than that, in the second half, they didn't do anything. So, I mean, for us, like you said, we just try to go out there and do our job and make sure that the offense has confidence in us, and that if we get the lead, we're not going to give the lead up, and we're going to win the game.
Well, I mean, I don't want to name names last year, but the quarterback situation was such, and the offense was in such a state that I think there were a few blowout games where that probably was responsible to some degree, right? Where you got down two touchdowns, all of a sudden a two-touchdown deficit became four by the end of the game.
Yeah, it was bad. The situation last year was bad, but, I mean, we still fought last year as well. I mean, this team, like I said, the guys on this team are very high character, and we know that, you know, we're not just playing. We're playing for our team. We're also playing for the name on the back of the jersey as well. You want to always represent that name to
big
the fullest.
Time.
So that's one of the things you do.
How about after the game? Ken Wisenhunt gets the game ball from Michael Bidwill, right? Mm-hmm. All-time winningest coach.
Yes.
Tell us about that moment in the locker room.
That was a very, very great moment. I mean, to be a part of helping somebody, a coach like Wiz that we all love a lot, to help him get to that milestone was great. I mean, we respect the guy a lot, and for him to get that from Mike was a great deal, and I was happy to be a part of it.
I think the best job that Coach Wiz has done since he has been here. I'm telling you again, the steady hand at 1-6, continuing to say we know our system works, we believe in our system, to have that conviction and that philosophy, and then stick with it. So impressive to me, because I've played and been in a locker room where you were on a team, you were in trouble, and you knew you were in trouble, and the coach looked like he was scared. Wiz has never looked that way.
Wiz is never scared.
All the eyes on the quarterback. Think of all the eyes that were on the coach at that moment. The play players, the media, the ownership, right? Richard Marshall's going to join us next.
Seneca Wallace has been outstanding at quarterback. He takes the snap and will throw off play action. In trouble, has to step up. Gets hit from behind by Schofield and sacked at the 13-yard line. Wallace takes. He'll throw with a short set. Looking left, now in trouble. Runs right. And sacked at the 5-yard line by Schofield again.
Look at O'Brien Schofield.
It's not often you call out back-to-back sacks, Wolf.
No.
And the same guy is responsible. O'Brien Schofield there, a very critical moment in the second half.
Yeah, the second one was even better than the first one. The first sack was a motor sack. It was a keep-going sack. The second sack was a beautiful TE that Darnell Dockett and OB ran together, where Darnell came up into the B-gap as the spike on the T part of the spike. TE. And then OB came underneath him on the text game, and the explosion coming underneath. The Browns' offensive line never had a chance.
That's a good call. I like that.
You like how demonstrative he is there, Kerry, with all that? You like all that? You
know, no question.
If you're watching azcardinals.com, / live video, you don't really need the audio, because Wolf just, he speaks with his hands.
You got to make the tee game go right.
Some karate moves. He's getting in there with some of that.
That was real hot.
All right, I don't want to put you on the spot and make you call an audible there, former quarterback Kerry Rhodes, but he got an introduction to do here on the fly for us, because we've been joined by one of your teammates on the defensive side of the ball.
One of the coolest guys I know on the team. He's a hard worker. Whatever coach tells him to do, he does it. And I'm very proud to have him as a teammate. So my next guest is Richard Marshall, the chameleon.
The chameleon.
Wow. All right. Please explain that, Richard, if you would. Chameleon.
Earlier this season, when Kerry got hurt, they asked me to go to safety. And at first, I was just playing corner and nickel. And then I moved to safety, so now I'm playing all three.
Okay.
He plays them all. He's done a good job, man. I'm a very big supporter of his.
How comfortable were you at first doing that?
At first, I wasn't comfortable at all. I never been back there at safety. Playing corner nickel, that's something I did since college. And once I learned it, I mean, it came pretty easy for me. And then just been out there playing and been able to, make the checks.
So you had never done that before in your career, never played the middle of field safety.
No.
Oh, that is
safety at all.
You know what? I did not know that. But I saw you in the middle of the field a lot of times, playing in zone or even in man, playing the middle. How naturally did it come to you? How quickly did you pick it up?
I picked it up pretty good. Just I had to learn how much depth I had to get in certain coverages, and then as far as being at the nickel playing seam flat already. Drop it down from safety playing seam flat, it was similar. So my thing was the depth.
So why did you want to come here and actually play too? Because you had other opportunities. When the lockout ended, you had other opportunities. Did you not, Richard? Oh. What made you want to come here and play for the Arizona Cardinals?
Because Kerry just perked up. He wants to hear this answer in particular.
I want to hear
Richard.
Yes.
Yeah.
What made me want to play here is at first I was in Carolina for 5 years, and I got twins, and I wanted them to grow up around family members, and being way out there, that wasn't possible. So, coming to Arizona, it was closer to home, and my family come down to every home game.
That's awesome.
And that was one of my big reasons. And then,
that is awesome.
And being my teammate, he left that part out.
He was getting to it.
And then
being
able to play with a group of guys that I feel want to win. And Carolina last year was a hard season for me, and coming here, I wanted to play for somebody that could compete, in and out. And, earlier in the season, we had our downs, and now we're starting to pick it up as a team, and we're starting to win some games.
And you're also, too, you're also a very physical corner. You're a guy that doesn't mind walking up over that wide receiver and jamming him, even if you're playing a little cover two, right? And you're a good tackler as well. Those are all classic Ray Horton disciplines. Those are all attributes that he looks for in a corner, is it not?
Yes, it is. That's something that's been a part of my game since I was young, coming up tackling. I don't like corners that don't like to tackle. That's a pet peeve of mine. You got to be able to come up, make the hit. When you never know we're the last line of defense. So if we get past us, it's a touchdown. So if they run in to get past the linebackers and the D-line, we got to be able to come up and make that tackle.
By the way, with you guys playing the Bengals, has Coach Horton this week mentioned that he was a second-round pick of Cincinnati in 1983? Has he brought that up at all? You know, former cornerback himself? Has he ever broken out any of his game film, you know, any of his tackling or anything like that? Has he shared that with you guys at all, Coach Horton?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
I'm very surprised he hasn't, because he has some very elaborate stories that goes on.
Really?
So I'm very surprised.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe another reason guys want to play for the Cardinals is they enjoy hearing their highlights in Spanish. Maybe that. I don't know. Maybe you didn't know it, but you know it now at a time you can tell some of your friends around the league going into the offseason, because here we go, the great Gabriel Trujillo.
Here we go.
Here we go. Brian, yes. Schofield's second sack, like only Gabby can call it, in Spanish.
De tercera y 15 con balón en la 14. Dos receptores por el lado izquierdo para Wallace. Wallace en la bolsa. La persecución y otra vez entró. Obi-Wan Kenobi. O'Brien Schofield para darle el golpe a Wallace. Captura una tras otra de parte de O'Brien Schofield para los libros de récords. Who let the dogs out? Who?
That ended up on SI. Yeah. We got some national coverage again, SI.com. And, you know, as Wolf mentioned, on the second sack, and OB told us about this in the post-game radio interview as well, Kerry, that, you know, Darnell Dockett came over to him after the first one and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And then we sort of ran a two-man game of sorts on the second one. And yeah. To me, I don't know, that seemed to sum up this defense, because you've had, you know, the intersection now of the young guys and the veteran guys, and they seem to be working in concert literally on that play.
Yeah, like I told you earlier, I mean, I think everybody's gotten to the point now where we believe in the defense, and we know that if we do our job and we do it together, not collectively, not individuals, that everybody will have a chance to make plays and have a chance to eat. So I think we've all grasped that and ran with it. I mean, a guy like Dockett, who early on, who maybe may not have done that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that we've gotten to the point to where we are now and grown so much, it's just a compliment and a testament to how we bought into the system and the coach has stuck with us.
And I would say, Paulie, that sacks are really overrated. They are. But sacks in a void, when you just look at them, because I think pressure is more effective if, in fact, a quarterback knows, oh, man, they're coming. These guys are coming. And every time I throw the ball, I'm getting knocked to the ground. I think that can really have a residual effect as the game goes along. Sacks, though, in a void, just looking at the number right now. Remember the first half of the season, how difficult it was for us to get sacks. Yeah. Now, suddenly, the Arizona Cardinals are number 12 in the National Football League in sacks. Number 12. And as I said, they can be misleading, those numbers, but what really has been the tip of the spear for us defensively.
Yeah, the thing with that is we're getting pressure with our packages, but we're also, on the back end, we're not having guys running free.
And I think
all that ties in together. And like I said, everything works hand in hand in this league. And we've gotten better on the back end, so the front end are reaping some of those benefits.
And, Richard, how much better is it for a defense when it's different guys getting the sacks? Not just one guy piling up like 16 of them, but it's different guys at different times. That makes you a bigger threat to the offense, I would think.
Yeah, it's real big. You can never just double one guy now. You got to, you know, pick your poison. And if you choose a double Dockett or a double Calais, we got young guys that's coming around the corner and coming to get you.
And a lot of times, too, Richard, you're rolling off the slot sometimes, aren't you?
I had a few ad rushes, which I had a man, and he ended up blocking, and I went up and got the quarterback.
By the way, speaking of Dockett and SI.com, you, Kerry Rhodes, and Darnell Dockett, your Twitter accounts ended up in the top 40 to follow in sports. They just put that out, I guess, in the last day or two.
Whoa.
For 2011.
Nice.
So, you know, show us a little love over there with some of those Twitter followers. You know, maybe kind of extend some of those our way. We'll talk about that during the break. Back for more on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford.
'Tis the season to knock somebody into the new year. Feeling pretty merry and jolly right now. Although it's fun to say fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, I can guarantee it's a whole lot more fun to deck the halls with balls of bloody. Wolfly Claws, is that what you called me? 1 minute, you know, your brave heart storming the battlefield on your white steed. And, you know, the next thing you know, one helmet later, you're little Jack Horner and you're eating a Christmas pot. And I think on that last play, Jamie Martin was eating some Christmas pot. They're going to feel feel like they ate a 4-pound holiday cheese ball. This is like Nightmare Before Christmas. He went north and got lit up like Rudolph on a power line. Lit up big time like Scrooge on a highball. God bless us, everyone.
Oh, the Christmas Wolfleyisms. Nice. On the Big Red Rage here, presented by Santan Ford, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, Paul Calvisi, Kerry Rhodes, and special guest Richard Marshall. So, all right, which one of you guys gets into Christmas more big time than the other? Kerry, what do you think? I mean, are you a Christmas kind of guy? Rich? Oh, you're pointing to Richard. Sure, he's got the kids and everything.
That's why I would say so.
Don't believe it.
How much shopping do you guys do on your own? Come on. Full disclosure, how much shopping do you guys do? Are you good at the mall? Are you effective? Do you flounder around like me? How does it work?
I went shopping for one person.
Okay.
And that was my kid's mother. That's it. She did all the rest of the shopping for everybody else.
I see. All right. Well, is the football season a viable excuse, Kerry? I'm busy. I'm working, you know. You use that? Yeah.
I think so. I mean, that was my excuse. I don't do any shopping at all. I hate the mall. I don't go.
Wolf, by the way.
The important thing is this, though. Your guy's Gucci account in good standing right now. I mean, that's what everyone wants to know. You're taking care of the missus, right?
There you go, Richard.
Well, if you need any Christmas advice of any sort, forget Wolf as the backup mall Santa. You might have seen him when you were out, Richard. I don't know if you saw the mall Santa. It might have been Wolf. Yeah, he's been making some extra revenue during December for him.
Don't laugh at that, Richard.
The real go-to guy in the Cardinals is the guy who's from the North Pole, Alaska. We had him on here.
Darren College.
Remember that?
Yes.
And we had an extended conversation about some of the aspects of growing up in North Pole, Alaska. He lived on South Santa Claus Lane, for example.
Yeah.
And they had real reindeer in the neighborhood, just roaming around, apparently. And that's where the conversation went. Let's pick it up and revisit that.
That's crazy.
So you didn't have reindeer in your neighborhood or anything, right?
I mean, no question, we had some reindeer.
You had reindeer?
Yeah, we had reindeer.
Really?
Yeah, they're down the street in a pen.
They're not indigenous, right?
They're not indigenous, no. We have moose and we have caribou, those things, they're indigenous, but the reindeer were not local.
I see.
Not by choice, at least.
Do you milk reindeer? What's the use of a reindeer? I mean, what exactly?
What show is this?
Yeah, what purpose do they serve exactly?
I think they're there purely for show.
For show.
Yeah, so when you're up in Alaska and you want to come by North Pole, you're like, where's the reindeer? We're like, right. Hey, you just go down 52nd,
I see.
Go by Santa Claus' house, and they're right out front.
About milking the reindeer, but I couldn't tell if he was serious or not. So I figured I'd just lob one in from left field and see how he reacted. You know, because I couldn't tell if he was being serious. I think he was totally serious, though, about the reindeer.
I think he was, too. That's the scary part. I think he really was.
And his dad was in the front row.
Yeah, his dad was sitting in the front row.
Oh, dad was there?
I think his dad was offended by the reindeer.
Oh, that was the guy nodding his head like, that's it.
Yeah, it was kind of nodding right there. Yeah, then he started shaking it like, no, you're way off course, Calvisi. Gotcha. And so, wow.
There we go.
So, is it tough at all to focus this time of year on football? You have a short week in particular, Kerry. You got all these other ancillary things out there you got to worry about. A short week, a road game. You're not going in 2 days before, even though it's Eastern time zone. I know it's only a 2-hour difference. It's going to be cold. There's no rain now in the forecast. All this other stuff to worry about you're going to have to deal with as a team on Saturday, right?
You just have to block it out. I mean, this time of year is a very special time of year. I mean, it's about family. It's about celebrating whatever your beliefs are. But I think when it comes down to us as football players, we got to put that to the side and go get the job done, especially us. We have a lot to play for. We have a chance at, outside chance of making something special happen. So that's what we're focused on right now. I mean, we're all pros, and we're trying to get it done.
And this is a very balanced Cincinnati Bengals team, isn't it, guys? Very balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a good running back. They got a couple of good receivers, and, we got to play our defense and not try to do too much and let the players come to us.
I think they do a good job of lately they've been doing a good job of getting Cedric Benson carries. And, everybody know when you talk about Cincinnati, they want to talk about the young quarterback. They want to talk about the young receiver. But you have those guys up front playing well, and you have Cedric Benson playing well, and he's the catalyst for them. If he plays a good game this weekend, we're going to be in trouble. So we got to make sure we contain him first.
Considering you guys went bare bones for almost the first half of the season on defense, how much of what you guys are bringing out weekly now through the end of the season is stuff the other team hasn't seen? Are you guys still bringing out stuff that's new to film?
Yeah, we're bringing out a lot of stuff. Early in the season, a lot of us had trouble learning the defense and he scaled back a little bit. Now he's starting to throw it back in as he's trusting us to, you know, learn the defense and get out there and play.
As Coach Horton said against Dallas, he noticed times where Romo was like, okay. So like, he was a little confused. Like, I haven't seen this before.
Yeah. And that's that helps your attack out a lot. If you have ammunition that you can go to, it definitely helps you out a lot.
And I think if you're going to get to Andy Dalton, of course, Andy Dalton, a rookie, a guy that has played extremely well, you've got to be a little complex on your schemes. And I want to talk about that, Paulie, in the next beautiful part of the program, because I saw something I've never seen before.
And their other big-time rookie, we'll talk about those two next on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Dalton waits for the shotgun snap. 1:10 to go in the game. Tied up at 20. Andy's still waiting. He has the ball. Here comes a blitz. Dalton steps up. Throws down the middle of the field. What a catch. A.J. Green racing for the end zone. He's at the 10, the 5. He's shoved out of bounds at the 2-yard line. Adriel Jeremiah Green.
Andy Dalton, unbelievable under pressure. Standing in that pocket till the last second.
Wow, Wolf, I think you're going to have to match that guy's energy on Saturday. I don't know. Usually it's not a problem for you. You have to match your opposing color analyst's energy on Saturday for Cincinnati.
I'll match nothing, Wolf.
There you go, A.J. Green, the rookie, fourth pick overall in the draft, and has already has a 1,000-yard receiving season, and is closing in on the franchise record, by the way, for a rookie held by Chris Collinsworth, who basically should have got an NFC Championship ring for what he said about the Cardinals going into the postseason. We won't talk about that right now. We will talk to Kerry Rhodes, Richard Marshall here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. So what do you guys see, especially with Andy Dalton, Kerry? Go ahead, tell us about the rookie quarterback who until last week had gone 10 straight games with a touchdown pass.
He's played well. I think for me, my expectations for him weren't this high. I mean, coming out, I mean, I didn't know him a lot, but I mean, once he got into that Cincinnati uniform, he's been nothing but good things for them. They lost a guy like Carson Palmer, who they thought would be hard to replace, but he's come in and played just as good as he could have, I think. So, I mean, I got a lot of praise for him.
One of the things I think you want to do is be aggressive against Andy Dalton. He's a rookie. Yeah. You want to be aggressive and try to confuse him, and especially knowing that A.J. Green is such a deep threat. And I saw a scheme last week against the Cleveland Browns that I have been talking to Kerry the entire show about.
Yeah.
Paul, it was a flat top look, and what I mean by that is the secondary was at a depth that said, here comes, it was, you could almost draw a line. It said, here comes cover zero. Here come the Huns. We are going to come after you. And then we bailed on the snap of the ball, only rushed four. And what I saw was Patrick Peterson from a cornerback position run, sprint to the middle of the field to play the free safety in the middle of the field. We played man across the board. Adrian Wilson buzzed number one on the left side of the field, the left side of the defense. And that means he ran underneath the wide receiver's route, ran underneath it with, I believe it was Richard Martin. Yes, it was Richard. It was you playing man on Massaqua over the top in overtime. And it was one of the most complex schemes I have seen us run. And it tells me that these guys are getting on the same page with Ray Horton and his defense.
So, Richard, be honest. If you guys would have tried that in September, what would have happened? Not good.
Yeah, definitely not good. That's something we wouldn't even ran early in the season.
Yeah, that wasn't.
And then Seneca Wallace threw it up for grabs. You knocked it down. And I remember he was looking for Greg Little on the drag. And Kerry was the guy who picked him up, man cover, and blanketed Greg Little. He had nowhere to go with the ball. So he threw it up to Massaqua, and Richard Marshall made the play.
Richard made the play, but he made a play. And I had to go in and do some punt stuff for him because he was hurt. I was like, man.
Really?
If you're going to get hurt, don't do it. Please don't do it.
That's good for you, Kerry. Yeah, that's good for you. I think. How risky is that, by the way, Kerry? A play like that where everybody's, you know, you got guys sprinting to center field from the box. I mean, is that pretty risky for a defense?
Got to be very coordinated. And I think right now we're at the stage where we can get it done. And we're getting it done now.
You know who's getting it done? The Room Store. It's Room Store's ultimate fan cave giveaway. Register to win a 7-piece living room with a 55-inch flat screen at any Room Store location. Down the stretch we come. We'll wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage next from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So it's been a big week for you, Kerry Rhodes. I know you had your charity event earlier in the week. So what were some of the takeaways from that?
It was great. A great turnout. A lot of people came out. Actually, a couple of people in the audience tonight was there. So I mean, a lot of celebs came out, and it was for a good cause. So, I mean, it was fun. Raised a lot of money, and it was a great deal.
You know, Darnell Dockett had an event. Calais Campbell had an event this week. It's amazing. You know, guys like Larry Fitzgerald were at all those events. And, you know, it's you see the way the kids in particular respond to NFL players. And I know you guys feel like it's part of your job, right? I mean, to go ahead and give back, especially to the kids, the way they respect pro athletes.
Yeah, I think it's – I think you should always give back. I think coming in – in 2005, I always said once I made it, I would be one of the ones that did that. And I've always stuck to it.
Richard, you got a game. You're still in playoff contention. You go against Cincinnati. They're 8-6. They're in playoff contention. What do you think is going to be most important against that Cincinnati offense?
We got to, you know, stop their run first of all. And then second of all, we can't let them get deep shots on them this week. We got to keep everything in front of us and make the tackles in front of them that do catch the ball.
You know, their offensive coordinator is Jay Gruden from the Arena League, Wolf.
Yeah.
You see anything on film? I mean, is there anything he's incorporated, or is that a wacky question?
No, it's not a wacky question at all. They will take their shots down the field to A.J. Green because he's such a deep threat. The guy is Randy Moss with natural hands. I kid you not. He is 6'4". He can run. He's a great athlete. He can catch the ball. So we're going to have our work cut out for us.
I'm a great athlete, too, so the deep ball don't worry.
Oh! Special thanks, Jim O'Mahundra, Walton, Jason Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt, and all of you here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
To the outside 10, Rhodes to the 5, touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.